Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us. And today we have the privilege of chatting with Kathleen Miner, the founder of Hopeful Handbags. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
So cool. And Kathleen, Hopeful Handbags, just that name sounds so fun and so light and fluffy, but there's so much depth behind just that name. So can you kind of unravel who Hopeful Handbags is?
Yes, definitely. So Hopeful Handbags, first, it's Hopeful, right? And two L's on full, like full of hope. So Hopeful Handbags, they are handbags full of hope. And basically what we do, the base of what we do, I should say, is we have once-loved handbags they're gently used, but we call them once-loved handbags that are donated by the community. And then we fill them with necessities and things to make women feel amazing. And we donate them to women getting back on their feet from domestic violence and other challenging situations.
Okay, this is brilliant. Just the fact that full of hope, and then the fact that you call these used handbags once loved. There's so many little like tunnels of information that I feel like you could just help us digest. Mm-hmm. So where did this idea even come from? Because it is so different.
Yeah, well, it is. But, you know, there's actually, so a friend of mine actually, was doing this over in the UK with sanitary products with homeless women on the street. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved handbags. Since people are shoe people, I've always been a handbag person. It doesn't even matter what kind of handbag it is. I mean, not designer or not, and it's just whatever it is that appeals to me, I've loved. That thought process was in my head. And over here, when I did some research, well, I'll tell you why I got to the domestic violence in a minute, because that's really my passion. And that was something that wasn't as conducive here. And so for me, my grandmother, my mom's mom, my mom grew up in a home that was full of violence. Mm. And my grandfather would abuse the children and my grandmother. And there were 11 kids. And
oh,
of course,
gosh,
some have passed away since then. So my mom had me when she was very young. She was 15 and my dad was 17. And we lived across the street from them when I was little. And I remember my mom running across the street to break up the chaos and sending her younger siblings across the street to my sister and I, who are about the same age. And we would just stand there at the chain link fence and wait, you know, for everything to die down. And then most of the time we end up getting in the backseat of the car to drive my grandmother to the emergency room. And there were either, you know, broken bones, concussions.
Oh,
it was always something. And I remember just these memories of sitting in the back seat at like 5 and thinking, why does she stay? I mean, I know this hurts. This happens all the time. And I know this isn't normal because I don't live this way across the street. So this is where my passion to help survivors of domestic violence came from, because I always wondered if my grandmother knew that there was help and support out there for free, if she would have left. And of course, this was years ago, right? I mean, my grandmother passed away 30 years ago now, and it was from a head injury. And I think you can only get beaten so many times.
Right.
And my grandfather passed away about 6 years ago, knowing what he did was wrong. But I know they're both watching down too, like, keep doing what you're doing. So that's another part of what we do, is we raise awareness and we do give that hope, help, support, and provide prevention, especially with teens and 20-somethings and really all ages. So I guess that's a long answer to how the whole idea came about. But so we were starting to fill handbags, and I decided that I was going to get certified to be a domestic violence advocate, because I still had that thing in the back of my head saying, why do they stay? Why do they stay? That question, I wanted to answer the question. And the one thing I found out was there's no one reason. There's no one reason. There's so many reasons why people stay. And the base of is control, right? It's control by the abusive partner.
now understanding that there's no one reason, what do you as an advocate do? Like, and I ask that not just with what can you do with it, but now as someone who's advocating for them and raising awareness for us, what can we do with this information?
So, and that's kind of where the handbags come in, because it's something that everybody can do. It allows also just everyone in the community to be able to come together and say, you know what, I'm helping somebody. Because everybody has a part in them that wants to help others. And sometimes we just don't know how. And so with this Once Loved handbag, if you have any, donating them, any essentials for the bag, and they you to know that they are going to raise hope. So the bags are to raise hope. When these bags get opened, the joy on the face, and then imagine the kids sitting next to the mom, right? And they see the mom smiling because they're pulling one thing out of the out of another after another out of the bag. And we do have essentials, but we also have the feel-good things, right? So we have some amazing businesses around in each community that will donate things like face masks, bath bombs, jewelry, like beautiful necklaces with positive quotes on them, little coin purses with positive quotes. We always just have some amazing things. So it's a win-win, right? Then the child's getting excited too, because who, what child do you know that doesn't want to see their mom happy? And I know I keep saying women, but I do want to say that this does happen to men sometimes, because statistically it's women, but some of that's too because the women will come forward more. But it also happens in same-sex relationships, probably way more than anybody ever thought. But how can the community help is that way, and also raising awareness and being aware of what's around you. So, you know, if you do question something for someone, so say you have a friend, you're questioning something's going on, you don't really know how to approach it. I mean, one thing that you can do for that person is just say, hey, listen, you know, I just get this feeling that maybe you might want to talk sometime. Just know that there's no judgment if you ever want to talk about anything. And I think that's really important to let people know if you have somebody close to you that there's no judgment, because that's one of the reasons why a lot of people won't say anything, because they're afraid they'll be judged. How could you say, you know, and there's all of that. So that's what we do. We raise awareness, but we also do give help and support. We have different workshops that we put on. We're global now. So we did start in Northeast Florida in 2017 is when I started this, and we have grown because of such a need. People have reached out to us. So we are in Canada, Australia,
oh
the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and the U.S., and also we are working with Uganda and South Africa. So the reason why I'm telling you this is how you see how much of an issue this is. And even in different communities, it's handled a little bit differently, even in the U.S. You know, some of them are more accepting of it. Some of them, meaning that the people, not the people that are being abused, they're done, they're tired of it, but it was so part of the culture or part of their family, you know, of the things that have happened. So when we're talking to people, you know, I talk to pretty much almost everybody's one-on-one unless we're doing a workshop. So every situation is unique, and we just go from there. Like, what do you need? We'll help them find shelter. We put people in hotel rooms sometimes until we can get them into a shelter, because the first concern of anything, number one, is safety. So even though the handbags are donated to the ones getting back on their feet, people call us before they call the shelter or even the police sometimes.
Why is that? Because of
the trust.
Oh, okay.
Well, number one, they feel like if they call, well, it's trust because they trust us that we're not going to be judgmental. Not that they are at the police station or the shelter, but we have to let them know that. You know what I mean? Sometimes. Because just imagine this, picture this, right? You have a woman who has kids, they've been being abused. They don't know how the system works. So the first thing they think of is they're going to take my kids.
Yeah.
Or they're going to come to my house. And that's not the case. So if you do call, obviously, the police department and you're calling 911 and you're in danger, yes, they're coming to your house. But if you call a shelter or you call for somebody to help you, right, come up with a safety plan or something like that, sometimes leaving right away isn't the safest thing to do. So we just have to reassure them. Sometimes it's a matter of just reassurance. Hey, listen, this is the process when you call the police. Hey, this is the process when you call the shelter. Nobody's coming out to your house, I mean, unless you say you need help. And unless there's a reason, nobody's taking your children from you. And so that's why we find that they're calling us. And of course, you know, it's not everybody calling us, but we have kind of gotten that a reputation out there because we do talk to them and just reassure them of how the process works, because that's scary if you don't know what's going to happen.
Man, Kathleen, I think it's so interesting that you guys are able to give something so simple, so lighthearted, like a once loved purse to these people who are in need. And that creates almost a gateway for you guys to help them in other areas and get out. You're doing more than just saying, hey, here's some face masks and some bath bombs, but you're creating a relationship so that they can have courage and then that foundation to leave that harmful situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why we say raising hope to survivors, but even more importantly, opening that conversation so that those still in abusive situations feel safe and confident to reach out for help. And that is what we do. Like you said, the base is the handbag, and it just goes in so many directions from there. Like I said, the calls that come in, every situation is so unique. If they need anything they need, we're going to try to get it to them. And even if we have to, so we collaborate. I believe totally in collaborating with other nonprofits, other organizations, because we can't do this alone. I always say together we are stronger, because I'm not going to have resources for everything within my organization. So if somebody calls me and it's something we don't do, so many organizations are so great too about collaborating that we just call them and say, hey, listen, this is what we need. And if they can't do it, they know somebody that does. So we always get it done. It's just a matter of working together. And that's one thing. You know, I am located in St. Augustine, Florida. That's where our global headquarters is. And this area is absolutely amazing with collaborating. I mean, you just reach out and everybody helps everybody else to make sure that that one person, so everybody's treated like they're the most important thing ever, because they are. And then they're taken care of, and then the next one's taken care of. So we do everything as a collaboration, which is what makes everything work, especially with the community. I mean, the things that the community donates, the time that the community donates. I mean, we're always looking for volunteers, because we do go to many events, and we do that mainly to raise awareness about domestic violence and let people know that they can reach out for help.
So many things to hit on, but one, just the generosity of these different businesses and companies and nonprofits that are willing to give you jewelry, but then their time and their resources, whether that's their hours or even money. So how could somebody get involved with y'all if they're saying, hey, I have a product, or I have an excess amount of time or money? What can we do to help serve Hopeful Handbags?
Well, basically, you can get in touch with, I check the emails at info@hopefulhandbags.org. Also go to our website and you can click contact and just ask me any questions. And I can give you our phone number as well. That phone number, you can text or call that number. But we're always looking for businesses to collaborate with. Now, what I am looking for, I will say, especially in Duval County, Clay County, and Flagler County, is more drop-off locations. So what we have is we have businesses that are drop-off locations. And what that means is when someone in the community has a once-loved handbag and or necessities or something to donate to Hopeful Handbags, they can drop it off at that drop-off location that's closest to where they are. And what that does for the businesses is it actually brings people into their business that they may not otherwise know about them. And it also allows the business to get involved with Hopeful Handbags. And we also will have handbag drives. So whatever business is a drop-off location, once a quarter, they have a handbag drive. And it's very interesting because, you know, you can drop off all year, because we do this all year long. But when you have a handbag drive, even if it's for, okay, you know, such and such place is going to have a three-hour handbag and fill drive, people come out to bring them then. And so we are looking for some, because we're in need of some more drop-off locations, especially since some of these areas are so widespread. We just want to make it convenient for people, and also volunteers to help us to get the bags in those areas filled, because there's a process to filling them, right? We clean them. These bags are definitely filled with love and care. Oh. And I have to say, my mom, who is just amazing, We call her the bag lady. She is in charge of the bags. She's the one that trains people how to fill bags, what exactly goes in them, and everything, because there is a process. And you can tell when you open these bags that things weren't just
thrown in there.
Yeah. You know, they were handpicked.
With love, it sounds like. And so now you kind of explained what it looks like to donate a bag, but what if someone's hearing this and they have a need for one of these once loved bags? How can they attain that?
They can just message the same way. Message me, message Hopeful Handbags. I will get it. And I'm going to give you the number now too, and it's on our website as well, but you can call or text 904-383-7158. And then typically what I'll do is set up a time for someone to chat with them for a few minutes, and then we will get them the bags. Also, if you are an organization out there that work with women getting back on their feet again, and you're like, you know what, this the way that my program works, this would really help us, then let us know. Our community is so generous with handbags and fill for the handbags that we like to help anybody that we can.
I like how we kind of started off with just talking about the foundation that Hopeful Handbags was found on, and now it sounds like you guys are able to offer so many things. Like, you casually mentioned that y'all do workshops. So, Kathleen, can you tell me about that?
We do. So we offer workshops, and so the first one would be self-perception. So self-perception is what you think and feel about yourself. And this is a workshop everybody can use, right? No matter whether you've been to domestic violence or not, at some point people have issues with their self-worth, right? They think they're not worth anything. And one thing I will say is, with domestic violence survivors, either they went into that relationship with a very low self-perception, or they gained it while they were in there. Nobody comes out feeling really great about themselves. So this is the base of everything, right? So think about it. What you think and feel about you, It dictates the chances you take, the choices you make, the relationships you stay in personally and professionally. And it dictates the ones that you leave, right? Because you're like, you know what, I'm better than this, or I don't deserve to be treated this way, or there's something better, or something like that. So that's why self-perception is so important. So that's that workshop. We also offer self-defense classes. Now, this is going to be starting here in St. John's County in January, and we're working with some other people in the Jacksonville area, because there's a somewhat of a training, even though the self-defense instructors are already trained, obviously, with self-defense. Most of them are martial artists. But there's a different way to handle somebody that has gone through domestic violence. So we have a trauma expert on our board who works with the people that are giving the class to make sure that there's some work done beforehand with that. But these self-defense classes will be open to the public as well.
Okay.
And I'm saying this because nobody's going to know who's the domestic violence survivor or who's not unless they choose to say something. But so they will be available to everyone, because this is really important. Mm-hmm. Self-defense is important. And then we have like a second level of that, which would be self-defense from weapons, because that's needed too, right? Oh, so what if somebody has a weapon? How do you get out of that? It's a little bit different than a punch and a kick,
right?
You know? There's that. We also have, teamed up with Moms in Business International. And that is a group that was actually started on Facebook quite a few years ago. And they have a membership base of a private group of over 66,000 women.
Yay.
And the founder of that organization gives some amazing, and she's amazing at business. So she has courses, she has workshops, and so does the people that she has working for her. They give all this amazing content and information. And so our domestic violence survivors, we have worked out where they don't have to pay for those. So Hopeful Handbags pays for these things for them. We also have workshops in some financial literacy, things of that nature. And we have more and more coming on board all the time. So what we do is, when people come to us and we think, oh my gosh, let's see if we can find a resource for that, if it's something we don't already have access to. This is what I love about being able to do things globally. And this is why not all of our resources are located directly here in Florida, because of the power of, like, even you and I talking right here on the phone, right? And then you have Zoom, and then you have so many places that we can do this, that if we have somebody in the Caribbean that needs to join in the self-perception workshop, then they can do that. And so, and all these workshops are also available to everyone, not just domestic violence survivors. However, like we said, we give scholarships for those, for domestic violence survivors, for that. And then when the public, when they pay, when people in the community pay, that goes to Hopeful Handbags because, you know, like I said, we pay for different resources, pay for hotel rooms. There's so many things. We're also, I want to say, raising money for in Northeast Florida to have Bridge Housing and another domestic violence shelter. Bridge Housing is something we're really passionate about as well, because when the survivors get out of either staying in the shelter or living with friends and family, they want to move on to the next step. And typically they cannot rent a place.
Right.
That's because of either credit, or if they have a job, they haven't had it for very long, and their credit typically still linked to the abuser. And, you know, these days it's not as easy to rent a place. It's almost like buying a house.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of information.
The last five pay stubs and all this stuff.
Right. And so what we're working on is raising money to purchase some homes. Rent will be based on income. But the difference in this will be that it'll be a year lease. Within that year, though, it's a commitment on their part as well, because they will have to stay in the workshops. They will have to stay in the program in order to continue living there, because we're looking for sustainability here. We have somebody that will work with them to make sure that they can rent their own place after that year. Because what's happening a lot right now is, since they can't find a place to go, they end up going back to the abuser, or they end up couch hopping even with their kids, or they end up living in their car because they can't rent a place, even a one bedroom place for them and their kids. So that's a real big passion of mine, is to see that that happens, as well as another shelter that has different types of programs available.
Obviously, we're over the phone, so you couldn't see my facial expressions, but I'm beaming just that, like I said before, the foundation of this is so pure, so simple. Handbags filled with necessities. And now it's helping people raise self-esteem, learn about financial things, and eventually giving them a bridge housing, like you said, to get their feet on the floor final. So with everything you hit on, Kathleen, I want to know, like, if you could just sum it up in a pretty little white bow, what would you state that y'all's mission is? Because you guys do so much.
Yeah, our mission is to raise hope, help, prevention, and awareness and support of domestic violence. And the awareness is a huge part. We're bringing this awareness and raising support to the survivors, but raising hope to survivors and opening that conversation so that those still in abusive situations feel safe and confident to reach out, and to allow all of that for a sustainable, happy life. Because that's really what we're all here for. We're all put on this earth to live joy, give joy, and be happy. So we should all get a chance to do that. And sometimes that takes a lot of little, some mindset work too. So we work on a lot of that.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much just for even raising awareness to me. I don't know whether or not others were affected by this, but I know I was, and I'm going to be able to leave knowing something and having a contact for if I do run into someone who's struggling with this, I can lead them to you. So one more time, Kathleen, tell us how we can get a hold of you, how we can volunteer, how we can give, or how we can ask for help.
So the best way to do that is either email or you can text. So the email is info at hopeful, H-O-P-E-F-U-L-L, two L's, hopefulhandbags.org. Or phone number is 904-383-7158. You can text that number. Or you can go to our website at hopefulhandbags.org, click contact, and ask any questions. I mean, that's what we're here for, and we will get you to the right place and find out whether it's for volunteering or whether it's that you need help yourself, or you want to find out how to be a drop-off location if you're a business, or maybe you have some donations. Just reach out and let us know, and we'll work together and make it happen.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for being such a great, stable neighbor in our neighborhood for us.
Well, thank you for all that you do and bringing awareness to everybody that's out there. I mean, how important is that? It's a great thing.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.
Impact Christian Academy is a private K-12 school with a diverse family-like atmosphere. With a mission founded in partnership, students receive a Christ-centered education, thoroughly preparing them to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Students are challenged academically, passionately pursue the arts, participate in competitive athletics, and have a heart for community service. Schedule a tour today by visiting icajax.com or by calling 652-1441. At Impact Christian Academy, they are doing school differently.
Hi, I'm Eileen Dolligan, and I'm a longtime listener and supporter of The Promise. With over 20 years of experience helping the residents of Northeast Florida, I've helped clients who have missed house payments or car payments and have been unable to pay other debt obligations. Some have maxed out their credit cards in an effort to make ends meet. If this sounds like you, I want to tell you that before you take out the equity from your home or get a high-interest payday loan, a second mortgage, or cash in your retirement, you should call me at 904-354-4935 and ask me about the fresh start that bankruptcy can provide. Not only will bankruptcy protect your assets, stop collection calls, and prevent wage garnishment, but it will also get you to a brighter financial future sooner than you would expect. It's time to empower yourself with the fresh start that bankruptcy can provide. Call Dolligan Law today at 904-354-4935 or visit bankruptcylawjacks.com. With Dolligan Law, there is hope. You are not alone.
Panera favorites are hot and ready to serve for dinner. Taste our creamy mac and cheese served in a crispy bread bowl. Or the classic bacon turkey Bravo featuring our signature sauce. How about our new mouth-watering Chipotle chicken and bacon flatbread pizza? These and other favorites are waiting for you. Order dinner tonight for delivery or pickup. Only at Panera. Availability and pricing may vary.
Is finding the clothes that you love in just the right fit and size an overwhelming task? Experience a new way to shop with Stitch Fix. Our experts hand-select pieces so you can get the ease of personal styling from the convenience of home. Every piece is curated just for you, for staying home or on the go in your unique style. With Stitch Fix, there's never any subscription required, and it's delivered right to your door. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
Joy Builder, Goal Builder, Respect Builder, Credit Builder, Me Builder, Dream Builder. Meet Self, the app that helps you build credit and savings so you can build your dreams. We're here to keep you on track while you build positive payment history to build your credit. Know what's really cool? You get your money back in the end, minus interest and fees. You've got dreams, we've got you. Download Self today and let's get that dream built. All credit builder accounts made by Lead Bank, Sunrise Banks, N.A., or Atlanta Capital Bank, N.A. All equal housing lenders and members FDIC. Individual results will vary. Visit self.inc for more details.
Summer means longer days and sometimes longer weekends. Make the most of yours with Memorial Day savings now at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Get grilling and saving with a 5-burner Next Grill for only $199. Regularly $249. Save on everything from mulch to mowers. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings. Here now, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done while supplies last.
I'm Mark Kinder with Affordable Water. If you're considering a water system for your home or business, be sure you only work with licensed companies. A normal business license doesn't require any testing or experience. Licensed water companies have to go through educational classes and pass tests. We are licensed, insured, and have 30 years of serving Jacksonville. Affordable Water, 262-0197. Affordable Water, 262-0197. License number W32.
Come see Affordable Water this weekend at the Home and Patio Show.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, A North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Houston Pullen, the director for the Small Business Development Center. Houston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Colby. I'm excited to be here.
We've been able to kind of catch up with SBDC really the past year with PPPs going out and y'all just having an increase of need from the community for y'all. But first, before we talk about just the new transition that's been happening with SBDC, can you give me a rundown on who y'all are and what you do?
Yeah, so the Small Business Development Center program, or SBDC as we like to call ourselves, we are a program that's designed to support small business owners in addition to helping entrepreneurs get started and grow their businesses. And really, we're focused on making sure that small businesses know that they're not alone in this endeavor. And we provide free consulting services that are, you know, we're funded through the U.S. Small Business Administration through a federal grant program in partnership with the university. And we're really here to be a support mechanism for the community for all matters of small business development, economic development, and innovation and research opportunities as well. So really, we provide training and consulting services that, you know, generally are free or with a small cost for some of those training programs.
SBDC is all about serving the small businesses, helping them grow, helping them succeed. And you kind of mentioned that you do it through training services, but can you be more specific of what these business owners can expect when they come to y'all?
Yeah, absolutely. So if a small business is looking for services, or maybe they need some help understanding marketing, understanding how to utilize social media, how to understand, you know, the finance aspect of business, they're looking to go get a loan, they're looking for, you know, how do I put together financials, how do I put together a business plan, what we do is we will do an intake process where we'll sit down and we'll ask the questions, what is it that you're looking for, and really target in and cater to what specifically the small business needs by actually asking them and identifying the need. The great thing about our organization is we have a phenomenal team that is so multidisciplinary in the business field that they know what they're talking about. We have some of the, I'm just going to brag a moment,
yes.
We have some of the finest consultants in the entire SBDC network for Florida and beyond. I mean, I'm so impressed with the level of professionalism and just knowledge that is here. And really, I think that really is a testament to why we have so many small businesses that come see us and why our doors are always open for more, because we have the best of the best. And they're here to really be a support mechanism for all of the small business owners and entrepreneurs looking to start or grow their businesses.
Houston, I really appreciate how you laid the foundation of professionalism for your team, because we hear a service that's free and we hear that it's local and we think, okay, this is super rinky-dink and it's not worth my time. It's not worth my business's effort. But you just straight up said, no, the team you'll have and the work that you produce is top of the line.
Oh, 100%. And I think anybody who comes in is going to find that they will be welcomed with open arms in, you know, being support, you know, just being able to provide and impart knowledge. I will speak, you know, as a previous SBDC consultant quite some years ago, we have been, it really is a great resource for small businesses. And we also provide some other aspects of, you know, support, where we also have a program called the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, or PTAC program, that actually works with small businesses interested in going after federal, state, and local government contracts and looking at being a part of those kinds of things. And that's also a free consulting service that we provide. So we really have a wide range of tools and options for small businesses in what they need.
And I really appreciate that when we started talking about this, you sit down with the company and you say, what is it you're looking for? It's not a blanket one sheet of, hey, this is what we offer. But you ask,
right. How
can we fit your needs? Because I think sometimes so many businesses aren't apt to this kind of service because they're like, oh, my business is so different. They've never dealt with something like this. And you're saying, no, we want that.
Right, exactly. And I think the other aspect here to bring in is, you know, we're housed with the university, and we also have, the resources of the university that we can bring to the table. So it's not just those the federal programs that we can bring, but we also have access to, you know, so much knowledge and so many resources here, especially from a market research aspect. And, you know, for those businesses that are looking to start or grow, you know, market research is so important. We have the ability to be able to help guide people specifically for what they need. And that's so important in going into business and really having somebody there who can, you know, provide those resources and guide you. I mean, there's nothing better, especially for business owners and entrepreneurs. I think they can all attest that they sometimes really need that kind of guidance.
And just to clarify, you guys are with the University of North Florida, that university locally.
Yes.
So what resources can we expect with a partnership that y'all have tied to UNF?
Yeah, so we have access to resources such as the library offers some resources in terms of market research databases like IBIS World, which are industry reports that, let's say, somebody comes in and they're looking to do a business revolving around a bakery. Right, they want to open a bakery, or they own a bakery, and they're looking to expand. They're looking to find ways to attract new customers, or even just enter the market. These kinds of reports are invaluable, and they have such great information that we can then take and help dissect and put into a business plan or a marketing strategy or anything like that that will support a small business. And what's fantastic is these reports are generally very expensive, and sometimes, you know, you don't really know what, you know, where to go. And some people will spend, you know, hours and hours and money and time to actually go and look for those kinds of things. The beautiful thing about the resources we have here at the university is we have access to them. And generally, you know, we're able to leverage those when we're working with small businesses. And I have seen that play out with the consultants here in the University of North Florida with the SBDC program. And it's so important. And one of the great things is the College of Business, Coggin College of Business, and the university support our program 100%. And it is just so incredible to have that kind of support, because it empowers us to be able to bring the whole, you know, platter of services that we have to the table for the community.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, so many of these services, yeah, you can go elsewhere for them, but they're going to cost so much money. And you guys have so many of them. But what about companies where not even companies, but nonprofits that are trying to start up? Do you guys also help with that?
I'm so glad you said that, because we certainly do. And, you know, you have those for-profit companies and whatnot, but we also support nonprofit companies as well. And we have some phenomenal specialists here that actually have experience with helping nonprofits set up boards, set up bylaws, going through that whole process of obtaining nonprofit status, and really helping to refine the missions of, you know, those nonprofits to really flesh it out and help organizations really see what are they really trying to do. And how, you know, sometimes people come in, whether it's a business owner or a nonprofit, they come in with an idea, and it's our job to help find a path to get there. And it may not be the path that small business owners or nonprofit seekers are looking for, but it is the right, we want to set them on the right path to get there. And we want to be realistic in expectations. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they understand, you know, these are some of the things that they should do, and that we can help guide them through that. So it really, that's one of the best aspects of this. And I'll tell you, as a former consultant myself, I've had businesses who've come in and who have laid out some phenomenal ideas, but they're missing certain pieces sometimes. And really, it's our job to be that support mechanism that helps them go, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And we help guide them, and we help get them to that point. And it's so one of the best feelings and one of the best aspects of this job for this team. And you know, they live by this, is watching a business open its doors, hiring new people, watching a existing business be able to continue to expand and grow, opening a second location. All of those things are incredible. And that's what this program is all about. It's helping to create opportunities for small businesses and entrepreneurs to succeed.
And Houston, since you brought it up, do you have like an all-time favorite success story of someone you've walked alongside, not just as regional director now, but maybe even as a consultant, and you're just glowing and so excited for them?
Yes, actually, back when I was a consultant, this was back in Nevada, Las Vegas area, I actually had two doctors who came to me about opening up their own pediatric practice. And they came to me with an idea, and they came to me with some things that they thought they needed and that they had. And I'll tell you, when I sat down with them and we really started getting into the weeds of everything and, you know, trying to help them pivot and understand how to actually make their whole vision a reality, it was incredible. And, you know, they'd been able to obtain a loan, they got a space, and, you know, helped them to understand how they can best utilize the space, you know, because they were a startup and it was such a large space, how we could maybe create some new revenue opportunities where we had other doctors' practices or health practices come in and sublet the space, so that way they were able to grow and expand organically. They were able to hire and grow and build their patient base, and it was just amazing. And I'll never forget, even after I left Nevada, I got a card from them saying, we were able to pay off our loan, we're doing great, and thank you so much for all of your help. And I, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, that is so worth it. And that is the kind of success that our program offers to entrepreneurs and small business owners from all walks of life, all industries, in trying to work with them to get to that point.
Yeah, and that success is so attainable. And again, I have the privilege of chatting with Houston Pullen, the Regional Director for Small Business Development Center. And Houston, thank you for sharing that incredible story with that company in Las Vegas. And now I kind of want to switch gears, because we are different than Vegas. And I wanted to know, what have you learned about the small businesses that are here locally?
No, and I really appreciate that. Coming in as the new director here for the Northeast region of Florida, I have to say, what a phenomenal community of small business owners and just overall economic opportunity. I think that one of the great things is there's such a diverse background of different industry, people from different walks of life and socioeconomic backgrounds that are succeeding. And really, I think that's such a fantastic piece to this whole puzzle with regards to how we can support the community here. And I think that, you know, just based on my observation of being here for the past 6 weeks, I really think that we have tremendous opportunity, especially given the fact that, you know, the country has gone through one of the most challenging, and I think I'm putting that mildly, economic issues. I mean, overall, not just economic, but health crises that we've ever faced. And the resiliency of the small businesses that are here is just overwhelmingly incredible. And, you know, I think, and again, I'm going to toot the horn of this team here. They have been such an incredible support mechanism for the community. The SBADC team here in the Northeast region, housed in Jacksonville and the outlying areas at the University of North Florida, they have been fantastic in helping with bridge loans, disaster loans, PPP loans, and, you know, being there to really talk through all matters of crises. I mean, they worked almost 24/7 during the pandemic, and they're still working to support small businesses. And we will be here. We were here before, we were here during, and we're going to be here after. And we're really looking forward to continuing to support those small businesses, you know, as we continue to see things reopening and grow and going back to, you know, some kind of normal status. And, you know, while that may change for many people, we also recognize that there's going to be needs and there's going to be new needs that need to be fulfilled. And those folks out there, those smart entrepreneurs and people with those ideas, we're able to help them. We're able to help talk to them and work through those things. So I think that's going to be just a tremendous opportunity. And really, it's a testament to this region and to Jacksonville and the outlying areas. I really think that we have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity here.
I think you totally hit the nail on the head when you use the word resilience in these local companies. And just as they've had to grow and be resilient and just kind of figure out what this uncharted water looks like, what has the SBDC had to go through while they are on this uncharted water?
You know, I think that one of the great things about SBDCs is the ability to recognize where the needs are and finding solutions that will actually help. You know, I think the SBDC is no stranger to supporting small businesses in disaster situations. You know, when hurricanes hit, our SBDC team is ready to be there and support them. I will say, you know, the recession from 2008-2009, when I was in Las Vegas, the economy was hit so hard, but the SBDC was there to support small businesses, rebuild, grow, and really help to try and diversify the economy and become resilient. And this is the case across the nation. And right here in Jacksonville, we have this resource with the Small Business Development Center at UNF, and we're able to work across different spectrums and in different situations. And even though they may not be the same situation every time, there are best practices and skills that these folks on this team are trained to be able to handle and work with those small businesses so they can be prepared and they can have, you know, really what they need from us. And I think it's a testament to, you know, not just their abilities, but also to our stakeholders, to our funders that, you know, that provide the funding for our services. The city of Jacksonville is a great partner of ours. And we have so many different organizations that we're able to work with and really create opportunities with.
I think it helps these small businesses in knowing that they have such a strong backing from an organization that is just as devoted to being resilient as they're pressing these small businesses to be. And
absolutely.
And Houston, you mentioned that you've only been here for 6 weeks, and being in that, you're now the regional director. So what are you stepping into as that role now?
I'm going to say that my predecessor, Janice Donaldson, was here for 39 years, and she built an incredible team, and she built a program that has the respect of the community and the respect of the small businesses, to be frank. I mean, the people that we serve, our stakeholders and those that we serve, and that's certainly, you know, big shoes to fill. But she was so gracious in this entire transition process. As she was riding off into retirement, she was very, very excited about that, and she's, you know, doing great things there. But, you know, we spent about a month together and talking, you know, talking with her, learning from her, getting a great sense of where the organization has been. And then I bounced ideas off of her that I think, you know, it was fantastic to be able to say, you know, supporting the legacy that's been built, honoring it and enhancing it as we move forward. And that is truly what excites me about this. Is we are no stranger to change. And you know, I'm looking at how we can continue to provide new and efficient ways of pivoting and adapting to different situations and really taking on different approaches. And I will say this team has been fantastic when it comes to, you know, proposed ideas. They are all in on wanting to help support those endeavors. So really, I have to really give a great debt of gratitude to Janice and the team here. I mean, they've been just so welcoming, and it's made it such a pleasure to come in here and really go, this is amazing. So I you know, that's really the experience that I've had thus far with the SBDC. Mm.
So after being able to bounce these ideas off of Janice, do you have a list of top priorities that you want to hash out?
Yeah, so there are several things that are in the works that I think are really important to note. One of which is really trying to make sure that the minority communities and the impact socioeconomic communities here within our region understand that, you know, there's a resource for them. And really trying to target in and focus on supporting those communities while maintaining, you know, and growing the services that we have for all communities. I think that, you know, because of how hard pressed and impacted they've been, we want to make sure that they know that we're here to help them. And that's one big thing on my list to make sure of. And I have to say that a second one that we're really looking at, and this is really tied back to the College of Business and the university, is really focusing on innovation and how we can leverage resources from the university to produce, you know, student businesses, and really promoting, you know, entrepreneurship and driving home that, you know, we have so many great businesses here that are headquartered here, larger businesses, that we can find opportunities for small businesses to participate in this innovation space and grow. And that's really a big aspect that I think we're going to be able to provide here, especially with some really cool things in the works that will, you know, be coming out as time goes on. But I got to say, we also have a fantastic relationship with our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation that our one and only Karen Bowling actually runs in downtown Jacksonville. I mean, what they're doing there is fantastic as well. I mean, just in terms of the support for, you know, startups and small businesses that they have, they're great partners of ours too. And I want to make sure that we're enhancing and really being great partners, not just to our internal university stakeholders, but to the external stakeholders as well. And that's a big goal of mine, is maintaining and growing the relationships that Janice has set the foundation for and has built and maintained and grown over these years. I want to continue that that opportunity as well.
And as somebody who really calls Jacksonville their home, it's so encouraging to hear how you're coming in just running out of the gate with fresh and new ideas to help innovate our community, because at the end of the day, like, this is our home, and by you helping back it is helping it be better for us.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that, because it is something that I, you know, this community has been just so welcoming to me as I've, you know, transitioned in. And we're here, me and my family, we're here for the long haul. So we're excited to be able to provide, you know, this opportunity to just our community and really giving back. We call this our community because it is.
And Houston, thank you so much for that. So again, can you give me a rundown on the programs that y'all offer, and then I'm going to ask how we can get in contact with these programs?
Certainly. So we have a variety of different programs. We have our consulting programs, where free, no-cost consulting, where small business owners can come in and get, you know, hours of consulting services that we can provide. We have a huge network of partners that we can turn to and, you know, really provide that opportunity to find expertise that a small business may need or support that they may need. And that's really a big part of what we do, is that consulting side. Moving over to the training side, we have a phenomenal training team, marketing and training team here with our SBDC program. And they put on some fantastic webinars. And when we get back to the point where we can have in-person training, they offer some of the finest training programs I've seen for small businesses in just, you know, QuickBooks training, our, you know, marketing training, financial management training, all those different kinds of things that they're able to provide, startup training. And really, you know, at free to, you know, to minimal cost to be able to be a part of those, it really is fantastic to see that. And I think the other program here that I can really hit on is making sure to talk about what we offer with our partners. We have so many, like I said, great funding partners, St. John's County, Nassau County. There's so many counties that we are partnered with. The city of Jacksonville has been tremendous, and really we're able to go in and provide training services with them and consulting services for those who go and speak with them that need it. Small business owners and entrepreneurs who are seeking for it, they've been great referral sources for us, and, you know, us to them. You know, we're able to have a symbiotic relationship that really enhances all of our abilities to work together. So I would say that those are probably the big things that, you know, we offer here with the SBDC.
Yeah, y'all cover so many areas, whatever need you guys meet it. So tell me one more time, Houston, where we can get in contact with y'all to find out more and just to ask for help.
Absolutely. So you can reach out to us at the University of North Florida. We have an office actually at University Center on the main campus of the University of North Florida. In addition, you can send us an email, or you can call into us. We have folks that are here that are able to provide, you know, support, and, you know, from emails to phone calls, you know, that's really a great way to be able to get a hold of us.
So great. Houston, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your time, Colby, and I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.